This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of 3 John. 3 John. Near the end of your Bible, just before the book of Jude and Revelation, is the book of 3 John. It's a short letter written by the Apostle John and has some very interesting things to say to us. We're going to talk about this morning three men in 3 John. And I'll start reading at verse 1, which says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have to be in the house of God this morning. Thank you for each one that's here and for all that we have been able to enjoy together thus far. We come now to the sermon portion of the service and ask, Lord, that you'd give us open ears and receptive hearts, that we might hear your word and receive it into our hearts and lives, that it might change us, transform us, make us more and more like Jesus, our Savior. Help us now, please. Give me wisdom to know what to say and what not to say. And may everything that's said bring honor and glory to our Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here is a letter from the Apostle John. I believe it was addressed to Gaius. It looks that way anyway in the first couple of verses. I can say this with all confidence. You probably picked up on this as well, but it's a personal letter. It's a very personal letter from John, I believe, to Gaius, and it focuses on a church problem, all right? A big, important 50-cent word here is ecclesiastical problem, all right? Regarding traveling teachers and preachers, we might think of them today as missionaries and evangelists. He also touches on hospitality. He touches on also a man by the name of Diotrephes, which we'll talk about him because he didn't want to participate in these kind of things. And by the way, he didn't want others to either. And so he exerts his influence to try to stop some of the things that John is encouraging Gaius to do. And then, of course, later on, we read about a guy named Demetrius also. But these three men, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius, are the three men in 3 John that we're going to talk about today. And please have open ears and receptive hearts, because these things are written for us, for our learning, for our admonition in the year in which we are living right now. Let's talk about Gaius first. Notice, if you would, verse 1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius," the elder, I believe, is John, and he's writing to the well-beloved Gaius, "whom I love in the truth." Verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Skip down to verse 5. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." And then verse 11. "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Now I choose out those verses because these verses tell us something about this man Gaius and how John sees him. John calls him several times here. Did you catch it? He calls him well-beloved or beloved. Several times in these verses he uses those words. And he's referring to this man, Gaius, as someone who is very special to John, someone who is very special to God himself. By the way, that words well-beloved or beloved, they come from that Greek word agapetos, which within that, of course, we find agape, which is that term for deep love and deep affection. And that man, Gaius, was apparently someone who was very, very, very special to John and special to God. And so he uses that designation when he talks about Gaius, well-beloved or beloved. Notice, if you would, verse 2, and the Bible says here in verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." This is John's desire for Gaius. All right? John's desire for Gaius is that he would prosper, that he would be healthy and strong and vibrant, able to serve the Lord for many, many years in good health and mental good health and so forth. I found in preparation for today, some folks believe that Gaius did have some health problems that he was dealing with. And might I just stop here and say, most of us at one time or another are going to have health problems? Amen. I mean, who do any of us know that gets to live their whole life and never have a health problem? I think every once in a while in my life I've run across somebody that says, "Well, I'm 92 years old and I've never been to the doctor." I think to myself, wonderful for you. Hadn't been my experience, but wonderful for you. You know, there's very few folks like that, right, that live a long life and they have very few problems in life. Most of us are going to face health problems. And John's desire for Gaius is that he would be in good health and prosper. And maybe John was even praying for his recovery and praying that God would help him and be with him. I think God, through John, was wanting Gaius to prosper not only physically, but spiritually as well. And of course, because he's a godly man and a well-beloved man and so forth, I believe he was prospering spiritually for sure. Look at verse 3. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came." Get the idea, there were some that were with Gaius for a time and then came to visit John and said some things about Gaius. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." John is pretty excited here, and I'll use this word, delighted, all right? His delight was that Gaius was walking in the truth. Walking for God, doing what's right. Every once in a while, I've been in the ministry for a while, I know that most of you know that, but every once in a while, I'll get a phone call from somebody from my past, and I got one this week from somebody from my past who was just, you know, catching up with me about things going on in their life and told me this wonderful story that When I was in my very first church, they were a part of that church back in Appleton. And one Sunday, this lady of this couple, her father came to our services and heard the gospel, walked the aisle, trusted Jesus as his personal Savior, recently has passed away. And she said, "I felt led to call you and let you know that I watched his life after that Sunday in our church, and his life changed tremendously. And he died as a Christian. And I just want to thank you for your ministry." Well, you know what? That makes my day. And I told her that. I said, "You made my day. You really, I mean, that was a shot in the arm for me." John is all excited because this man, Gaius, and how much John had influence in his life in his past, I'm not really sure, but John was all delighted and excited about the fact that Gaius was walking in the truth, that he was living for God, that he was doing what was right. And he mentions here that other brethren had come to John and had spoken well of Gaius and his delight to walk in the truth. Well, as a minister of the gospel, I can testify that really is a shot in the arm when you hear that. And so it caused John great delight. It was very delightful for the Apostle John that Gaius was walking in the truth, and it caused John great joy and rejoicing in his heart. Then, if you would, notice verse 5, 6, and 7. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." Notice that again, which these other folks have borne witness of thy, Gaius's, charity before the church, whom thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his namesake, Jesus' namesake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. So we talk first about John's designation for Gaius, well-beloved or beloved. We talked about his desire. We talked about his delight. Here, John is talking about Gaius's diligence. His diligence. According to verse 5, Gaius had provided help to those who were brethren as well as to those who were strangers. To help the brethren, of course, is a good thing. Amen. To help strangers is an even better thing. And so John points that out to Gaius in this letter. He's praising him for that. You know, it's like this. Remember this Bible verse, Hebrews 13:2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." It's a good Bible verse for us to remember. I'm thinking now as I read the letter, this third letter of John, I'm thinking of traveling evangelists and missionaries and teachers and so forth who, like in Gaius's day, similar to today, they're dependent upon the love gifts of God's people when they go to a church. They're dependent on them for shelter and for sustenance and maybe even a love offering to help them along their way. When we have a missionary come through, normally we give them a nice love offering, and if they need a place to stay, we try to provide that for them. And usually I check with them to make sure they have gas in their vehicle and, you know, just anything that we can do to try to help them along their way. Why? Because for Jesus' sake, they're out doing this ministry. So we're trying to help them along their way. And that be true for evangelists or missionaries or like we're going to have, I'll just let you know this, the first Sunday in April, we're going to have in the evening service a drama team from Maranatha that's going to come and present, the whole program will be theirs, present the story of the five missionaries that were murdered in Ecuador in the 1950s. Some of you probably remember reading about that in history and so forth. But they're coming to present that story. And then there's another section that they're going to do also while they're here. But naturally, when they come, you know, we're going to probably feed them and we're going to take care of them. And they'll go back home for the evening. But we'll give the school a nice love offering and so forth. Later this year, Randy King's going to come speak for us on a Sunday. And Larry Ingalls is going to come and speak again on another Sunday. And throughout the year, of course, we'll have missionaries stop by. We do these kinds of things just like John told Gaius. That's the right thing to do. And I can almost see John giving Gaius a thumbs up, can't you? Because he's doing the right thing. According to verse number 6 in our letter here, John tells Gaius that people were speaking about the hospitality of Gaius. They told about his charity. They told about his love for God's people and God's servants. And John most likely was at this time pastor of a church in Ephesus. But see, John's hearing about it because people are telling him about it. And according to verse 7, these traveling evangelists and missionaries and teachers and so forth were able to keep on in their ministry. Did you catch this? Not being a burden to the Gentiles. Not being a burden to the Gentiles because of the help that Gaius was giving them. And I know, at least I think this firmly in my heart, I believe what John was trying to say was the unsaved should not be asked to support the gospel ministry just to hear the gospel ministry and be a part of it. That should be free. That should be a blessing to them. That way the gospel can be completely free to them and they can hear it and hopefully believe it and hopefully receive it and have their life changed by the gospel. So this is our number one man in 3 John, and that is the man Gaius. And I'm going to call him, by the way, the practicing Christian. The practicing Christian. That's Gaius. We've got another man that's spoken of here. And it starts in verse number 9. His name is Diotrephes. Diotrephes. Notice, if you would, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I'm sure you can already see that Diotrephes is not the same character or quality of man that Gaius was. I want you to see, first of all, that the Bible says he loveth to have the preeminence among them. I know I've told you this before in other messages and sermons, and it's not my original statement, but I've remembered it all the years in the ministry that I've been in the ministry. People that think they should be in charge probably shouldn't. That's what I think of when I think of Diotrephes. He loveth to have the preeminence among them. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to rule the roost. He wanted everything to go through him first. He wanted to make sure that he could make the decisions or at least have the loudest voice in all the decisions. And if you don't do what I want to do, I'm going to throw a fit. That's basically what John describes here, isn't it? Because it says in verse number 10, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us. That's the idea of just making up stuff against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. These traveling missionaries and evangelists and teachers and so forth, he wouldn't receive them, and forbiddeth them that would. Tried to hinder those who wanted to help these folks, and casteth them out of the church. So according to what John is saying here, Diotrephes didn't want to be a part of that kind of thing. In fact, John says in verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. In other words, I wrote about this earlier. Diotrephes doesn't even want you to know about that previous letter. He hadn't obeyed it himself, and he didn't want anybody else to obey it. One reason, he loveth to have the preeminence among them. This tells us a lot, doesn't it? About the personal ambitions of Diotrephes. Look at verse number 10 again. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. According to this verse, the Apostle John said that Diotrephes was using malicious words and lies to turn others against John and men like John. I I hope you'll hear this and take it to heart. I'm not speaking about anybody here, but I am speaking about people like Diotrephes. That is wicked.
Amen.
That is wicked. That is evil. That is wicked and evil. Let me call your attention to another passage here. I didn't have this written down in my notes, but I feel led to bring you to this passage here. Give me just a moment to find it. I'll keep rattling on while I'm looking. All right. But let me see if I can find this here, because it's very important. Oh, Lord, please help me to find it. Well, I think you know that the book of James speaks an awful lot about our actions and our words and so forth. And in chapter number 3, it talks about our tongue and how our tongue can be used either in a helpful way or in a hurtful way. And, of course, Diotrephes is using his tongue in a hurtful way. You might remember, and somebody might even see this, there's a passage here in the book of James that talks about our speech and our wisdom and so forth, and how if we use our tongue in one way, it's worldly wisdom and it's hurtful and damaging. But if we use our words in a right way, then it's godly and wise and so forth.
Is it
4:11? Let me just peek and see if that's the passage I'm thinking of. Let's see. It's one that we could use. It's not the one I was thinking of. But 4:11 says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" The passage that I'm thinking of actually says that if we're using our tongue in a hurtful way, that kind of wisdom is not from above, but rather it's from beneath. It's 3:5. Okay, let's look at that real quick. That's not the exact one that I was thinking of, but I can sure read that one. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." By the way, did you notice if we just skim down a little bit further here, it says in verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame, and is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God," thinking about coming to church and singing the hymns and all that, "therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Can't you just see Diotrephes in church singing the hymns and praising the Lord and maybe be asked to pray for the offering or to bless the service or whatever, and at the same time using his mouth to destroy or try to destroy the Apostle John and people like Gaius and others? Again, that kind of wisdom is not from God. That's not of the Lord whatsoever. So rather than belabor it here too long, you maybe find it a little bit later on and call me at 2 or 3 in the morning and let me know that you found it. But anyway, I may even bring it up in another sermon sometime. The point I want to make back to our text in 3 John is that Diotrephes was perverted. These are perverted actions. This is not a godly man. This is not a man who's, you know, humble before God and loves the brethren and loves the Lord and loves the Lord's work and the Lord's people and so forth. But according to what John is saying here, he was using malicious words. And the word there, prating against us, it just suggests the idea that he even made things up to try to make John and others like John look bad. He was doing all that he could to keep the Apostle John and men like John from coming to their church. Friend, that's not from God. You say, why do you get so wound up about that? Because I know that those kind of things are happening. Not necessarily here right now, but I know it is happening in the world and it is happening in other churches. And this, I don't mind saying this, this unspoken request that I have relates to this right here. Now, On the flip side of that coin, I want to say this about John and about Gaius. When you know in your heart you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're doing what's right, and you're trying humbly to serve the Lord, and though they're saying malicious things about you, and though they're even making things up about you, you have to know in your heart that you're doing what God wants you to do with your life. And so you almost have, it's a shame, but you almost have to, sometimes it gets to this point where you got to cut them off, because who needs that kind of negativity in your life, right? Cut that off and just know that you in your life and in your heart are walking with God. You know, it's kind of like this, when a little chihuahua is following you and they're yipping and yapping and nipping at your heels and all that. I don't mean to hurt dog lovers here, but just, you know, push them aside and keep on going. Just keep on going. You know, if they're nipping at your heels like that, you've got the lead. Hello? Don't let them ruin your life. Don't let them ruin your attitude. Don't let them ruin your walk with God. Listen, and don't, here's the third thing. One day, I can't tell you when, but one day God will deal with them. It's not our place to deal with them or to correct them or punish them. That's God's, okay? But one day God will deal with them. You got to know that. And you just got to keep your heart tender with the Lord and try not to get bitter and just walk with God. You know, this is another thing about you might have to cut them off. If you allow them to continually be in your life, given all that garbage, it will turn you bitter. So, I mean, you just sometimes you just got to, you know what? Keep your distance. I don't want to hear any of that stuff anymore. So this man, Diotrephes, he's perverted. He's perverted. Verse number 11, by the way, and I didn't read this earlier, but verse 11 says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil." I think he's referring to Diotrephes. "Follow not that which is evil." He's telling Gaius, don't follow Diotrephes. "But that which is good, the things you've been doing already. He that doeth good is of God." Look at this. "But he that doeth evil," what does it say? "Hath not seen God." Well, I just don't think John should cast a bad reflection on their salvation. You know what he's saying, though, don't you? Their actions don't demonstrate that they're saved. Now, only God knows if they are or aren't. I know that. We're not the judge of that. Only God is. Okay? But their actions are not demonstrating that they're truly born again. Diotrephes, he's got personal ambitions of ruling the roost. He's perverted in what he's doing. And verse 11, as I was just trying to explain here, the powerful application that John gives to all the believers is don't follow his example. Don't follow his example. But rather follow the example of Gaius that was given earlier. I've got to hasten along here. Number one is Gaius. I've called him the practicing Christian. Number two is Diotrephes. I'm going to call him the proud Christian. The proud Christian. I don't know if you see it or not, but I see that he thinks he's better than what he is. And I don't have any doubt that God's not pleased with what he's doing. And one day he is going to have to answer for that. Well, we've got one more man to look at, and that starts at verse number 12. In fact, it's just verse 12, and that's Demetrius. Verse 12 says, "Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." So here's Demetrius. I notice a couple of things about him, just this one verse, but he has a good testimony. He has a good testimony. According to what John says about him here in verse 12, he has a good report. Today we would say a good testimony. And notice, of all men. Of all men. God called me to be in full-time Christian service in 1976. And I preached my first sermon in 1976, in December of 1976. And I worked for several years as a youth pastor, an assistant pastor, and so forth. Eventually got into full-time, pastoring. And so I've been doing this for a while. And one of the things that I've always tried to remember, I hope you'll take this in the right way, because I'm not trying to puff up myself. I'm just wanting to give an example for all of us, hopefully, to follow. And that is, I've always tried to remember that my testimony takes in not only the people I minister to, but my testimony also takes in people that I don't even know. Neighbors, shop owners, people that, run the gas station, people that run the grocery store, people that, like for me, I have a financial advisor that I seek advice from. Others, that we come in contact with all the time. Even people that come here to do jobs, electrical jobs or furnace work or whatever. My testimony involves them as well. And when God says through John about Demetrius that he hath a good report of all men, it's taking in not only the men of his church where he goes to church, but everybody. Even the folks in the community. And I'm always surprised by this, but there are folks, we ran into somebody not long ago who knew who we were, and I didn't know them. I don't know what that does for you when that happens, but that's scary to me. Not that I've got this dual life going on, because I don't. I'm pretty boring, really, but I just try my best to live for the Lord. But it always makes me wonder, did they see how I drive? Did they see me here? Did they see me there? Did I react okay in this situation over here or over there? Just, it makes you do a self-examination real quick. People sometimes are watching our life and we don't even realize it. So our testimony, see, he has a good report. Demetrius has a good report of all men. And look at this, and of the truth. What does that tell us but that his life lines up with the Bible? He has a good report of all men, but he also has a good report of the truth. It lines up with the Bible. His personal beliefs are right as far as the Word of God is concerned. He holds to the truth. I think it was important to Demetrius, and that's why he did that. His personal beliefs were right. His personal behavior was right. And you see it here, I know. John is praising him for that. When we get to heaven, we're going to meet him. Amen. Yeah. Now, hopefully we'll meet Diotrephes. I just say hopefully because only God knows if he was truly saved or not. But hopefully he was. And just acting wrong. Okay. We don't want folks to go to hell, right? We want them to go to heaven. Hopefully he was saved. I believe firmly that Gaius was. I believe firmly that Demetrius was. The only question I have is Diotrephes, because of the way he was living. But John praises Demetrius here for his Christian testimony and his faith and how it relates to the truth of God's word. And I just want you to know this. To have others speak well of your faith and testimony means you've demonstrated that to them. For instance, I'll just give you one example. And boy, I hope this doesn't upset you, Lowell. But if somebody came to me, God forbid that this would ever happen, Lowell, but if somebody came to me and gave a terrible report about something they knew about you, and you did this and you did that, and I won't give examples, but you did things that were violating Scripture clearly. And if somebody were to come to me and give me a report like that, I mean this sincerely, I wouldn't believe it. And the reason I wouldn't believe it is because I've watched his life for the last 15 years, and I know him better than that. Aren't you amazed at how quickly people are to receive bad news about somebody else? Amen. Something that slams their reputation or something that makes them look evil or wicked or bad, or they didn't do anything, but somebody came and they brought this piece of garbage to you. And it's amazing to me how many people are quick to grab onto that and believe it when they know that person and they know that's not true about them. Shocking to me. God forgive us for that kind of attitude about receiving bad news about other people. Here, John is vouching for Demetrius and his Christian faith and his testimony. And, you know, he's speaking well about him. Why? Because Demetrius has lived it out in front of everybody. They know better. Now, by the way, Diotrephes is also living it out in front of everybody, but it's the opposite testimony. That's why he said the negative things about him, because he's living that negative testimony out about him. Well, I included you in this because I just wanted you to know how evil that person is. What you don't see is that you're telling me how evil you are. Anyway, today we've talked about three different individuals in 3 John. By the way, Gaius was the practicing Christian. Diotrephes was the proud Christian. We're going to call Demetrius the praiseworthy Christian. The praiseworthy Christian. So we've talked about these three men, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. It's obvious, of course, I think, if you look at this letter, that we should try our best not to be like Diotrephes. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't be like Diotrephes. But you and I can emulate men like Gaius and Demetrius. Men like this, by the way, are described in God's Word here and numerous places in God's Word. Why? For our learning and our admonition. Now, the very best one to follow, of course, and emulate is the Lord Jesus. But there's also men like Gaius and Demetrius that we can learn from. And so today, the sermon, three men in 3 John. I hope it was a blessing to you. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the very simple, plain words and sentences and language that's given to us here. We can learn from this. This is very basic stuff. I pray, God, that we will have many, many, many men and women like Gaius and Demetrius in our church. And if there is a Diotrephes, which I don't know that there is or isn't, but if there is, would you take care of that person and change their heart? And this particular unspoken request that I have, Lord, would you change the hearts of those involved that are doing the evil and the wrong? Bring it back upon their own head. Just like we see prayed in the book of Psalms numerous times concerning things like this. Bring it back upon their own head so that they learn the lesson that they need to learn and stop doing that. Help us, even if that's happening to us, to keep a sweet spirit and to walk closely with the Lord. And if we have to put up barriers, we have to put up barriers, but we don't need that kind of negativity in our life. So bless, please, this message to all of us. I hope that we've been benefited by it. In Jesus' name, amen.